Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crap, and it's the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. I'm Ronnie. Guess who I'm with today? Ernie. Just kidding. His name is Ben. Hello, Ben.
It's me. How are you?
Good, babe. How are you?
I'm so good. We have a big day of podcasting to do today, and I'm really excited about all of it.
Yes, it's a big day. Today is Salt Lake City Day, and it is Crappens on Demand, which means you can see us. Why am I always wearing green? I don't know. It's a thing.
I don't know. That I was thinking that, actually, earlier. You're just ready for St. Patrick's Day.
I have so many. I bought like a 5-pack of shirts that are all green, and so that's like my day, you know? But don't worry. I am changing my shirt occasionally. And look, even my water bottle, my hydro jug, just part of the Crappens family, is in green. Look at that.
It reminds me of my friend's Fiat. She has one of those green Fiats in that color.
Well, there you go. I'm drinking your car. I'm drinking out of your friend's car. So everybody, welcome to the show today. We are going back on the road this week. We are going to be in Philadelphia on March 17th to recap Real Housewives of New Jersey. Then we're going to be in Washington, D.C. the next night at the Lincoln Theater, and we're going to be recapping Real Housewives of Orange County. And then the next night in Pittsburgh, we are going to be doing a classic Real Housewives of New Jersey episode. Left it up to you guys, and it was Jersey. So we're going to be doing Real Housewives of New Jersey Season 8, Episode 1. That is the first Marge episode. And we're going to see a bunch of parallel storylines and stuff like that. So we're really excited to come to you and do that. So there you go. Pittsburgh, Denver. Oh, nope. Damn it. Philadelphia, Washington, and Pittsburgh. Then following that, we'll be in Denver, San Fran, Detroit, Columbus, Cleveland, and then finishing in Houston, Austin, Moon Tower, Just for Last Festival, then to Houston, and then to Dallas. So come on and get your tickets.
Yeah, it's almost over, actually. So it's now or never.
Yes, so come. We're super excited. You can get tour merch at crappensmerch.com. Bunch of really cool stuff there. Mugs.
Shirts.
Drinking pins, things. Other cups.
All the things. Yes. All the beautiful. Actually, look, I don't know. Crappens on Demand. Can you see my little collection of mugs? There they are.
Yeah, your little Trixie mugs.
It's not just a display. I actually do use them, and they're really good. There's my Trixie mug right there, my little Trixie mug. It's on my thumb. Wow. Also, tonight's Take a Seat on Green Room, so be sure to come join us for that. We had a really fun time last week talking all sorts of crap about all the usual things. So join us on the Green Room app, and if you have a Spotify account, it's even easier, but it's all free and it's super fun. And we get like really good discussion. So join us tonight, 7 o'clock on the West Coast, 10 o'clock on the East Coast.
Do it. So tonight on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Seth's gross face is billboard sized. All right. It's huge. It's huge and gross. Right.
Yeah. It's part three, a supersized part three of the Salt Lake City reunion. You know what, Ronnie? I was so upset. The very first thing that we saw was we saw a shot of the trailers that they all are sort of doing their hair and makeup in here in LA. And I was able to deduce by the landscape and a nearby parking garage that this reunion was filmed mere blocks from where I live. And I have like this incredible amount. It's not FOMO, but it's like, man, if I had just known that the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, the entire cast, had assembled just a few blocks away, I totally would have like lingered out there for hours, been like, oh, I didn't realize you guys were here, and just try to like stalk them and take pictures and all that. I feel like I failed everyone.
Well, it looks like they were at Quixote Studios, which is interesting because that's Man of La Mancha, the man always tilting at windmills, which is very Jen in this. Jen is having a very delusional moment. So knowing that they're filming at Quixote is, I don't know, it's touching. You know, yeah. I love when a housewife really commits to delusion, and boy, did she. She's absolutely full of crap, because this is the episode where we get to question, well, Andy, as us, gets to question Jen on her lies. Now, he doesn't go too deep, but she still lies a lot, and that's fine.
Yeah. He doesn't really have to go too deep because, you know, I think there's sort of like this awareness that she's just about to get it so hard from like her federal trial. Like, Annie just has to ask some perfunctory questions to get some sound bites. It's not like with Erica Jane where there's like a lot of confusing slipperiness. And I also, to be fair, Jen Shah has done a really good job of having a pretty simple unified front during this entire thing. Like, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I'm Shaggy. It wasn't me. As opposed to Erica, who's like, well, there was a snowstorm, but then Tom drove down the hill and crashed, and it was discovered by a group of monkeys who took him down to the monkey kingdom. Blah, blah, blah. So, like, everything that Erica said, there were so many holes, you had to ask so many questions.
Well, they also did have somebody to ask questions. You know, they had Sutton. Whereas this one is just like, meh, okay. Everyone's just like, okay, I'm going with it. And Heather's got some kind of illness. Not illness, but... Something deep inside of her is broken that she stands up for this lady and goes this hard for this lady. Like, she thinks she's in Susan Sarandon in that movie where Susan Sarandon's like a nun on death row, you know?
Yeah.
Where she's just like, you know what? I'll like the guy from I Am Sam anyway, even though he's a murderer, because I'm a nun and that's what nuns do, you know? And you're like, oh, shut up, Susan Sarandon. He's a damn murderer. What more does he have to do?
She's just in it for that moment when she could touch the glass. I actually, when my dearly departed grandma Sally, in the later years of her life, she was in assisted living. Basically, it was like assisted living plus. And I remember visiting her, and at the elevator bank, they had like a little TV screen. They were like, tonight's movie night. And like, tonight's movie, Dead Man Walking. I was like, you know, I think that maybe we should reconsider the programming in this home right now. I don't know if we like, let's not do Dead Man Walking at the senior citizen home. Okay.
Yeah, don't do Dead Man Walking. Don't do It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay. Maybe Cocoon. I don't know. But
maybe Cocoon, just stop it in the middle.
Maybe just a nature special. Batteries not included.
So we open where we left off with Andy calling break and, you know, everybody getting up and Lisa trying to do her off-camera thing, which she has been very guilty of doing ever since this show started, you know? So she's like, Murdoch, Murdoch, can we talk or no, Murdoch? Can we talk or no? It's like, Lisa, I don't think we can talk. We're in the middle of a recording session, Lisa.
Yeah, but can I say something to you real quick? Can I say something real quick? Lisa, I'm not going to do this all off camera. No. I just wanted to come over here and say I am beyond sorry, okay? Beyond, like the new option. For a Whopper at Burger King. I love that. I'm so sorry.
Like, beyond sorry is like regular sorry, but plant-based. So.
Yeah, my sorry has actually much less cholesterol because it's plant-based, okay?
Yeah. So. No one understands what it's formed of or why they should be ingesting it, but there it is. It's a sorry. Hope you enjoy it.
Well, that's impossible. Oh, that's good, too. We like impossible, too.
So, Fritos. Oh, I love that. Meredith's just trying to get something off the craft services table. Lisa's like, I love that Chipotle.
I am beyond sorry. I did not mean to hurt you or Seth or Reed or Chloe or Brooks or that dog that you let stand on tables.
Or whatever bird you killed to wear to this reunion today. Okay. But you know what? Someone had told me that you were making fun of my renovation and stuff, and I was like upset. And she's like, what would I say about your renovation, stupid? And she's like, that I had like an ugly house. So that's why I called you a whore. That fucked half of New York City and said your husband can't keep a job.
I wasn't talking about your house. I was saying that I recently binged House MD and found it quite interesting, but maybe not in a good way. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, I have an ugly house. Fine. I said you have an ugly house. Fine. You should just rip my character. She does her full on head shake, you know, head tilting, shaking, nodding, whatever the hell, and leaves. And it's just Jenny, Lisa's only ally left. And Jenny's just texting, completely ignoring Lisa.
Yeah, not realizing her minutes are numbered on this show. So meanwhile, backstage, the husbands are all toasting, like, yeah, I love you guys, yeah, stupid women. And then Meredith is on the phone with Seth, and she's like, well, I wish you were here in person, and I'm so sad you're not here. It's intense, you know? And he goes, yeah, well, Just remember that sometimes second chances, you're giving another person a bullet because they missed the first time. I'm like, excuse me, sir, aren't you the beneficiary of a second chance? Wasn't that all of season one?
Also, what are you, in the mob? Like, who talks like that? Second chances, that's a bullet, baby. Like, what? Who's dying?
Yeah.
But, you know, he's very into his self-help guru thing. As the person who can totally keep a job, he was now a self-help guru on Instagram.
That's right.
And then Oh, sorry, Ben.
No, I was just going to say, I guess Celine Dion is just a liar. Doesn't she have a song about second chances, Ronnie? What do you say about second chances? Is that a lyric? Or did I just make that up? Did I just make up a Celine Dion song?
I don't know, but hopefully at some point you can say, it's all coming back to me now. And you can finish that, because...
To quote Austin Kroll, you look like goddamn Celine Dion.
I feel proud, actually, that like my gay points aren't that high, because I thought, you know, I should be able to get that. But I don't know. Somehow it makes
I'll look it up.
Butch. You see me butching up every day a little here on our Bravo podcast.
Who the fuck is Celine Dion anyway? Am I right, guys? It's all about Post Malone.
Mm. So the husbands come on stage and John is, you know, they're all sitting behind, and John sits behind Lisa like a fucking ghost. I mean, he really does. It looks like Lisa is in a movie about to pray to John, you know. He's sitting behind her like, ooh. And she's like, John, can you see? Okay. It's like, well, yeah, he could see you, Lisa. He's right behind you on a platform.
He can see you. By the way, I did look it up. The Celine Dion song is Taking Chances, not Second Chances, which is a totally different thing. So I retract that entire line of banter.
I do hope that there is still a bullet in the head in that song. Taking Chances, bullet to the head. From me! So Andy's like, we're back! You know what they say? Behind every strong woman is a man who just wants the women to get along so no one questions their MLM schemes. Okay. Say hi. The house husband. Hi.
Seth, I'm sorry you're not here, but because I know that COVID is keeping us apart. So I guess Seth was exposed or has it or something like that. But so he's not. That's the reason why he's on the TV screen. He's pulling a good old fashioned Brandy from Dallas. Brandy, yeah. Redmond.
Doesn't want to get confronted too much. So pulls a COVID. So he's like, well, I'm in Mississippi, Andy. I just want you to remember, and everyone out there, hope you're remembering this. Hug someone once, shame on me. Hug someone twice, shoot them with a bullet in their head. Okay? You can find my self-help on Instagram.
John, we all know it was your big plan to mess up Angie's catering. Why'd you do it? And he goes, I'm just that kind of person. Ha ha, ha ha, ha ha.
I'm just here to say that Lisa Barlow is an amazing person, Andy.
And continue. And we rehearsed this line, John.
Line.
She's also beautiful and would never say that about her friends.
This is harder than I thought it would be, Andy.
Okay, I'll do it from here. Never mind.
Good job.
I'm beautiful.
Good job. You did a good job. Job, John. So, Sharif, is Jen using that bullhorn in the bedroom?
He's like, no, absolutely not. And Andy's like, hey, Dewey, it's been an interesting ride. How's it been at work? And he's like, well, there's been no applications for sister wives. You said it, not me. You opened the door for it, so we're going to grill you on this. Enjoy.
Yeah, he's like, wow, you're joking about it. That's good. That's a healthy place. So we go to Justin, and, you know, what about Whitney reenacting having sex? I mean, what was that? And he's like, well, you know, that everything she does is an accurate description. What was this? I confused myself.
Andy said, like, so Justin, when Whitney was reenacting sex interview, was that accurate? He goes, would you say that's an accurate description? And he goes, everything Whitney does is an accurate description.
Wow. So these two. So yeah. I did write it down right. I was just completely perplexed.
It was just... Your brain was just trying to actively block it out while you were writing it, so it's understandable.
There you go. Everything Whitney does is an accurate description, guys. You heard it here first.
So how's your flacking? How's your flacking, guys?
Still twice a week.
Yeah, you like it? You like flacking? Everybody like flacking? You touch your boobs? God, I love flacking. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I love also the way that Andy does like a hairpin turn. He's like, yeah, so you guys have been fucking a lot. You guys are really fucking, you have sex. Hey, did you use up all your life savings on your rebrand? It's like, whoa, okay. We're going to go there now.
Well, it was more than just the rebrand. I would like to say I bought my business partner out. So that was like, what, $500,000? Or how much was that?
And he's like, listen, it was just a savings account. That was liquid, and it was to buy a cabin. So yeah, she used a lot of that. But hey, Whitney is the best investment I've ever made.
And I know. I have to say, it was an honor of a lifetime to be able to work with my brother. Whitney, we just got in. You're not working with your brother. You were working with a brother, Pitech label maker. A totally different thing. Oh. Sorry.
Oh, God. And just, you know, Tom Girardi, you know, may he rest in hell, is one of the, he's not dead, but when he rests in hell, you know, may he future rest in hell. Tom Girardi, when he said Erica was expensive, when he was joking like, yeah, Eric's expensive. Everyone's like, oh, my God, I can't believe he said Erica was so expensive. So I'm interested to see how pissed off people are at Justin for saying, yeah, Whitney, the best rate of return, better than anything I could get out there.
Yep.
I'm not
so
mad.
I don't have anything to say to that.
I'm not mad. I'm just curious to see how many people will be.
We'll talk about that on Green Room. So yeah. Then, so Whitney's business is doing great. It's up 540% from last year, even though it's still not, was it skincare, right? And Heather says that they actually carry all the products at Beauty Lab, and they sell out immediately, which is cool. And then Judy from Judytown asks, Whitney, do you feel like that guilty that Justin is 20 years older and you're squandering his retirement and now he has to work until the day he dies, which will be pretty soon because he's an old fart?
Squandering money from old people. What are you, Jen Shah? Too soon? To them, allegedly. She's like, listen, I am his retirement plan. And like I said, I'm profiting and I'm putting money back in 540% from up here, from last year, even though last year there was no wild rose. I'm confusing myself, Andy. He's like, wow, Zeph, let's talk about Whitney's boobs.
Yeah. You commented on Whitney's cleavage quite a bit this season. Whitney, was that awkward for you? Because it was really awkward for all of America. And she's like, she says, she goes, well, the first couple of times it was funny. And then I was like, oh, this is becoming a thing. So I think I made my point by showing up with a titty cake. Was that making a point or was that sort of encouraging more?
I made my point when I made him a cake out of my titties so he could actually motorboat me in public in front of all of Meredith's friends. And then you see in the clip of her saying, I thought I would get you this cake so you never have to talk about it again.
And then him showing that he's totally learned something starts like licking the nipples of the cake. Like, yeah.
The he's message so was clearly received. Oh, clearly.
He's so gross.
So, Justin, anything you want to say to Sam?
And Justin's like, no. I mean, I know where it comes from. It's not like serious sexual harassment. It's like fun sexual harassment, Andy. I mean, what happened to fun in sexual harassment, Andy?
Right.
Yeah. And so then Andy's like, Seth, we've really come through a very intense conversation between your wife and Lisa. And we just saw a clip of Lisa saying that Meredith had sex with half of New York and questioning why you own a house and that you're a fake family. I'm going to do the whole thing again. I'm going to do it as many times as possible. You're pieces of shit and you move every 5 minutes. Did I miss any other bullet points? Because I really want to make sure they hear it as much as possible.
And Seth does the finger touching thing where he's like really deeply thinking in his giant face on the tilted TV. He's like, you know, everything this season, Andy. And I'm a big sports guy, huge, big sports. And nobody played through the pain more than Meredith Marks did this year. Now, can I please get a touchdown on Whitney's end zone? Yes, got another one in there.
Yeah, he tries to have a total politician moment where he just talks about how Meredith was so great and was like really was dealt with a lot, but he's not answering the question. And in fact, he actually tries to almost exonerate his like disgusting behavior by saying, you know, I tried to do what I tried to do was make an ass out of myself to distract from the heaviness. It's like, oh, that's why, Seth. Yes. Okay, I mistook that. My bad.
Yeah, I came from a place of class, you know? And Meredith is like, doing her cry thing. And Andy's like, and the reaction that Meredith had sex with half of New York? What was your reaction to that one, man? Seth's like, did she mention the other part where I had sex with the other half of New York? And Meredith is like,
So then Seth gets serious. He goes, well, it's disheartening, and friendships go through lots of chapters, and I'm hopeful because I know John and Lisa super well that everyone can do what we gotta do to heal. And part of my healing process is that I'm gonna have to stick my face into Whitney's chest. Unfortunately, that's just what I have to do.
And John, how did it feel for you seeing your wife say that stuff?
And John's like, Lisa Barlow is an amazing person, Andy.
She's beautiful and smart. Beautiful. She supports her friends. That's
it. She's great. She's beautiful, Andy.
Great!
So then Lisa mouths to Meredith,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So sorry.
And Meredith gives her a look.
I'm hashtag brutalized. So then Andy pivots to Dewey, and he's basically saying how they experienced the real trauma of having a stillborn daughter. And does Dewey think that that's like having another child will make up for it? And Dewey is like, well, that's a very valid question. And he's talking about like, you know, family planning and everything, and talking about like how no parent should bury their children. And he says that like, well, you guys saw a little window of how awesome our children are. So wouldn't the world be nicer if we had more of that kindness, more of that beauty? Which was like one of those like it was like a nice like me moment that would be like I can imagine someone sharing something like that on Facebook, but in reality it's like this was traumatic and extremely difficult for your wife, so like you
and
can't
she could
look at
die.
It those simplistic like
she
that's an awfully
die.
Simplistic view by yeah. the way of, like, of how this works, you know?
And he's one of those people who always says good question. Good question yeah. to everything you say. Like, yeah, it's real difficult, Dewey. Okay. It was real difficult to come up with this one. Your wife could die if she ever gets pregnant again. Don't you feel like a fucking asshole for threatening to get a sister wife if she won't do it? Like,
yeah.
Good question. Good question, also, Andy.
Also, you're playing Russian roulette. Okay. You have two wonderful children, or maybe, I don't remember if there were more than two wonderful children. You have at least three. Two wonderful children. There are three wonderful children. Okay. Don't risk it with a fourth. You don't know. That next one could be a monster, okay? Quit while you're ahead.
This guy's a total fucking asshole. I don't care. So he's trying to do the smiley thing, and he's like, I'm a business person, and we're all business people here, right? And in business, we put emotions aside, and we want results. And I was like, listen, baby, I just want results.
Which is really the most heartfelt thing you could say to your wife.
Really?
I just want results.
I'm just looking at this like a business.
It's a numbers game. It's a numbers game, Jenny.
Until you open a family bowling alley, I don't want to hear how you're like having your own employees due to business. Okay? Shout out to Skylands Bowling Alley.
This is not Mad Max, okay? We don't have to have like a, you know, like a baby factory going on, okay? Like you have your three wonderful kids. Let's call it a day, okay? But the good news actually is that Dewey is getting therapy. We came down really hard on him because he was like, no way I'm ever getting therapy, which we felt was an antiquated view, especially from someone in the medical community. But he is in therapy, which I did at least appreciate that.
Yeah, he makes me crazy.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then let's go over to Sharif. So Sharif is like, Andy's like, Sharif, break down the moment you found out about Jen's arrest. And he's like, well, I was with my personal assistant and I had some personal health issues and I was being examined for those issues while I got the call about Jen, the very polite call from Homeland Security that calls people and lets them know they're coming. I'm like, what is Homeland Security? Like the sweetest neighbor in the world? Like, got some cookies for you. Just wanted you to know I'm going to stop by. Hope you're home. If not, I can leave them on the mat.
Hey, we brought you a hot dish. It comes with some handcuffs. Thought we'd just swing on by to deliver it to you. So he went home. He's saying he was having an examination. He went home and then there he found the officers there with the guns and they were like pointing at his kid and everything. So Jen is saying that the call that she received was actually a real call from Sharif's assistant about this internal bleeding situation.
But it's, well, we'll just keep going. So she, he's like, yeah, you know, after I got the call from Homeland Security, I was, you know, shocked. And then I went home to find officers with guns, some pointed at my baby. So Andy's like, so the call you got, Jen, that was real? And she's like, yes. And then we get the clip of her saying she has bad news. Sharif is in the hospital, which is weird that it was a huge emergency that she had to call about if he was just getting examined for something that he's had. This is all very fishy. And she's like, you know, Sharif never wants to go to the doctor. And I keep saying, you need to go. You need to go. And this was the fourth or fifth checkup. Okay, so this was a fourth or fifth checkup. So you freaked out and left a group trip.
Andy was like, so you did have internal bleeding. And he's like, well, I'll tell you this much. I have a history of rectal bleeding. And just cuts to Heather being like, she was like, that was way more confessional than my Bolero moment. Wow.
I've only been allowing myself to say rectal for 5 years. So this is a lot. It's a lot for even
me. It's a lot. It's a lot, Andy.
So it's like, at this particular time, the doctor thought it was important. And so I wanted to let Jen know. And I guess the internal bleeding was gastrointestinal bleeding. So yes, I was internally bleeding. Bullshit. This is such bullshit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, it feels a little weird because if he had like enough hemorrhaging that Jen needed to be called, it feels weird that then he'd be able to then go to Jen. Even if Homeland Security is calling, it feels like a weird, I don't know, I feel like you, I don't know.
Coincidence?
It's weird.
So Jen is laughing and she's like, well, I mean, guys, if I got tipped off, I would have waited around, okay? I wouldn't have just left. Oh, no, she says, I wouldn't have just waited around. I would have left. You did leave. You immediately had a ride come and pick you up and jet the fuck out of there. Why are you making it sound like you were just sitting there waiting?
Yeah, she couldn't just leave. Like, she had to get a ride, unless she's going to take Uber, but I don't know. She has a weird history with Uber, apparently. So Andy is like, so when you got a call, Andy's trying to trip up their story. You can see he's trying to be low-key. He's trying to do it because he kind of is like, walk me through it again. So when you got a call from Homeland Security at the hospital, you had something up your butt at that time, and that's when you called Jen. Okay, is that what caused the rectal bleeding? Hearing your wife's voice? He's like, no. I never talked to her. It's like, oh, okay. So then you had rectal issues and then you went home and then the cops came. He's like, no, it all happened afterwards.
He's like, yeah, you called Jen and you told her Homeland Security's coming. He's like, no, I never talked to her. So did your assistant call and say they're at the hospital and Homeland Security is coming? He's like,
no, he just told her what I was going through.
So then Homeland Security called after that?
He's like, correct, that was the order. It's like, oh my God.
You don't even have to study body language. When someone's arm comes out like that, correct, that is the order. You guys. Yeah.
So Andy asks how it felt to watch all the women's response to Jen's arrest. And he's like, well, it was, you know, incredibly painful and it really hurt. And Jen's like, I couldn't even watch it. Coach watched it for me. I couldn't even watch. Jen watched every single moment because she had like notes. And the entire rest of the episode is, and then you said this. So I was like, you watched repeatedly, Jen Shah.
And then Coach is like, yes, that's true. She did not watch it, which... You know, he's just coming here full on lying right along with her. So yeah. Andy is saying, you know, I'm sure you expected your friends to talk. I mean, it was a pretty big deal. She goes, but not to that extent. Not to that extent, Andy. I did not. Andy.
Have you two had crises of infidelity in your marriage? And then it's just like.
Nope.
And Sharif just, he doesn't even say anything. He just shakes his head. He doesn't even shake his head big. He just goes.
Okay, this is a tweet from someone whose name I'm not even going to make up because I love it so much. Ugly Adjacent on Twitter says, why does Coach Shaw not get the same energy as Erica Jane? Okay. I mean, wasn't he confused about where all the designer clothing and purses came from? Did you question?
First, okay. Ugly Adjacent. Let me start this answer. Was he confused about where all the designer clothing came from and purses? It's called Canal Street. It's in New York City. You should check it out. Great shopping. Great times. You might have to run a couple of times or, you know, hide behind a couple of counters, but worth it. Okay. Why does he not get the same energy? Because he's not a real housewife. When they found out all this was happening, his first instinct was to downsize. And he's not in videos rolling around throwing money in the air.
Nor is he giving crazy stories on every episode about Jen and his role in it. So, like, it makes sense.
Right. So, let's see. So, Coach is like, listen, my wife has worked the whole 25 years I've known her, and people see expensive things, but it didn't just all come yesterday. You know, this stuff has been amassed, basically. And
it's called the long con, okay? The long con.
Yeah, no one accused her of being quick about it.
It's not. This isn't quick money, okay? Easy money. So, so he's like, you know, it's been, you know, every day has been painful, but, you know, he hasn't worried about himself, you know, and this being implicated in this whole thing, because Andy asks about that. And after the charges, Andy asks after the charges, was there a conversation where Sharif doubted Jen? He's like, no. I looked at her and I told her, listen, this is going to be tough. And whatever it is, we're going to deal with it. But, you know, rectal bleeding happens.
No, it's about me right now, Sharif. It's about me.
So Andy's like, so there was a consensus among the friend group that they didn't understand what she did. I mean, what's your understanding of what Jen does for a living? And he's like, ha, 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 ha. Oh, well, you know, she does a few things. Obviously, my wife is into a few things. She's into beauty. She's into fashion. And so that's what she does. I mean... Okay, thanks for that answer. So he's like, and what she did prior to that, I can't even begin to elaborate on because it has to do with her case. Now, did I understand what she did? Absolutely, completely under. Okay, well, now you will be blamed the same as Erica Jane. Now we have confirmation. You're just as shitty.
Yep, that's exactly right. And Jen's like, I want to say something. It was very hurtful to see people like Whitney speculate on what I do and my business is less than saying that my business is less than par. I don't even know what that note means, but I guess I said it. I have busted my ass from zero, okay? And I'm sure you know what that feels like from zero, okay? And so it was very hurtful for you when you haven't taken the time to sit down with me one-on-one. We never had a conversation about my business, okay? And as it happens, it's very simple how I got my money, okay? You call up an old person, you ask if they want to start a business. Wait, I'm supposed to stop talking? Okay, I'll stop.
And she's doing all of this monologue from behind her feathers, so it's kind of like a cage anyway. I'm like, wow, you really prepared for this one. You should next time just wear a plexiglass dress that goes above your head, you know? So Whitney's like, absolutely,
I busted my ass from zero. And Andy's like, yeah, but I mean, come on, Jen. You're being charged with fraud and money laundering. She goes, yeah, but you're innocent until proven guilty. And, you know, because of that, she puts a blanket statement out. Oh, Jen's doing this and she's doing that and she's setting up companies. I mean, why would you do that?
And Heather's like, she's just explaining what it was. She was just trying to explain the charges. She goes,
yeah, and I apologize. I read the indictment, and, you know, so I do understand to some degree what you're going through. And she's like, well, how would you feel if everybody, I mean, look at Justin. He has an FTC thing out there. How would you feel if everyone was automatically, oh my gosh, I wonder, you know, I wonder what the setup is on Iris and Bo.
I think people are actually doing that a little bit. It's just not as exciting of a story.
They're not talking about it because she wasn't arrested by three agencies, Jen. I mean, she's like, yeah, I can't believe they were talking about you were just arrested by three agencies, Jen. Three.
Yeah, they didn't do it because they thought that they might be able to have a case. They pretty much have everything. Listen, we saw what's her face in Homeland Security. We saw her. Well, what's her name? Dolma? It's not Dolma.
Dulka or like Dolma.
It's like 20th of the new year. We don't remember her name anymore. She's not fucking around. That's the point. She's not fucking around.
Dushka from Below Deck Mediterranean.
Dushka. Yeah.
So then, you know, this makes me crazy because whenever Jen is in trouble, she immediately throws it at somebody else. And Andy falls for it every single time. He's like,
well, Justin, you have been accused of setting up a company that's a pyramid scheme, too.
And he's like, well, that's just an allegation. And that was put out 4 years ago. And then my name was quickly removed. But, you know, it still lives. It still lives out there. And we're fighting vigorously. But it still lives. And he goes, so it's in litigation? He's like, nope, just lives out there. You know, there's not much movement. But it lives. And so when we vigorously fight, really all we have to do is walk up to it and kick it a little. Because it really doesn't do anything. But it lives. It lives, Andy.
That's like my groin on Tuesday nights in the bedroom. It's not much movement, but it's there. You know what I'm saying? So then Jen is like, well, I don't know why it's so groundbreaking that Jen, the brown girl, and her black husband, how do they get all this money? It must be through something illegal. Well, let me tell you something. My husband, he has 3 degrees. He has an attorney. He's an attorney for 13 years, okay? 13 years, okay? And out of those 13 years, he was a certified NFL agent, okay? And Seth, do you know how much they make, right? You know how much they make, Seth? And Seth is like, yeah, I wish I was one. Because then I'd be around so many NFL players' wives' breasts. Am I right, guys? High five, screen. High five.
Justin got fired from his job. Did you know that? I'm trying to find.
I did hear that, actually. I did hear that.
He got fired from his job, allegedly because of all the sexy stuff that him and Whitney were doing.
That's what I figured.
Which seems kind of late. But whatever, if that was the reason. And then he put out a Facebook post. Well, first Whitney put one out and she put that poor thing in like kind of like a young hip, like backwards cap, you know, look. And they're both trying to give serious face to the camera. And it says, the relationship has never been stronger or something like that. And then he posted a couple days later, this really long post, basically like, you know, there are good people and bad people. And, like, if you're good, then you're here. And, like, you can still see my posts. And so, like, thank you for, like, being one of us. Because doors open and then they close. And when doors close, like, you're like, but what about the open door? But then you're like, should I be mad at the door? But are doors ever really closed? I don't think so. And their marriage just makes so much sense when you read the whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like that probably they said it was the sexual stuff, but it's probably because him being on this show is bringing probably way more attention to their whatever this FTC thing is than it would normally ever get. So I imagine that's probably a factor in it to some degree. Also, I love the way that Jen Shah is like, you know, really happy to say that Sharif was an NFL agent for many years. I don't think having an NFL agent sort of on your team is like we've seen Jerry Maguire. we saw what was going on over there. Like that's not the sort of like personality I want to like fortify my case that I'm a good person. Not Jerry. I mean, obviously Jerry was wonderful, but everyone else was terrible.
Jerry Maguire wasn't wonderful at first. That was a long 2.5 hour journey to him becoming a good person.
Well, I saw he had to have a late, he had to have a a late night meltdown. Okay. But I'm not sure Masharif had that moment. Okay. I have not been convinced that he's had that moment. I'm not sure he's walked out of an office with Renee Zellweger, you know, ready to go start a new life with Bonnie Hunt. I don't think so.
So basically she's yelling that everybody is being racist against her because they're questioning her. Like, why wouldn't she have money? Which they're they're questioning you because you were arrested by three agencies and charged at a very high tier. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why they're questioning you. Last year, they questioned you as far as like, what is your job? And then you could never answer it. You would never answer it in a way that anybody really understood. And then they dropped it. So I say people haven't really questioned you, you know, until now. And there's been a reason, right? And Andy's like, yeah, you know, I mean, I just don't think people understand what you do, Coach Shaw. You are an assistant coach. And she goes, yeah, people think he's a little league coach. And he goes, well, they both think you're living off the job of an assistant coach and they don't know what you do. And she goes, my husband is a D1 level coach and they just played the Rose Bowl, Andy. It's not little league. So I looked it up to see how much he made. Like 3 years ago, it was 300. Then it was, he gets like 50,000 more a year. This year, it ended up being 530,000 a year, including all of his bonuses and retirement and all of that stuff, which is a good amount. But when you go on saying that you're spending $50,000 a month on stupidity, like she does in her audition tape that we see in this episode, it's like, it literally doesn't add up. Okay.
It doesn't. Something doesn't add up. Or she was lying on her audition tape. So either she's a liar or something doesn't add up. Either way, I mean, we're fully in the Salt Lake City mentality right now. Like, this is like how they start all their conspiracy theories. So Andy asked John if he was surprised that Lisa needed some time to like gather her thoughts before reaching out to Jen. And John's like, I'm not surprised Lisa needed time. There was back and forth after the photo shoot that Lisa felt. What was it, honey? How did you feel after the photo shoot?
Lisa Barlow's an amazing person.
And she's entitled to feel hurt and have some healing time.
So Andy's like, so you mean she needed to heal from when Jen screamed at her while she was driving in the car with the kids? And she,
Chobits are too. Look at him, Andy. He's ashen.
Well, I mean, I feel okay.
He looks like he's a ghost. Look at him.
I actually feel okay.
He's practically dead, Andy. Look at him, John. Can you see okay?
John. He's traumatized. I was hysterical crying. And Jen's like, well, it's not like you haven't done that to me many times. And John's like, well, I've been in the room when Lisa and Jen have talked both positively and negatively. And it's like two firecrackers going off. And my experience with firecrackers is that when they go off, I run and hide under the bed. So I don't really know what the rest of the conversation was like.
Yeah. And Coach Shaw's like, you know, quite candidly, I thought that anyone who answered their phone quickly, it would be Lisa. And she didn't. But then when Heather showed up, now that made me cry. And Lisa goes, "Aw." Like she sounds like she's being supportive, but then she just gives one of her dirty, like squinty looks over Heather's way. Like, oh, aren't you a good person?
So, and then Andy is like, he loves doing this. The two things he loves doing this reunion are rehashing everything Lisa said behind that closed door to just like add more salt into the wound. And then also reminding Jen of her prison time. Facing 50 years. That's 5 decades. That's 2 scores and half a score. That's half a century. Wow. I can't put it into words. How do you stay optimistic about 50 years in the big house?
I can't even put it in the word. Well, I can think of one word. Fucked. Fucked. That's the word I'm thinking of.
And he's like, I have no choice but to stay positive. You know, Andy, I literally pick her up. There are days that she doesn't move her head. She can't move. She just says, people hate me because they think I did this terrible thing. So why bother? And then my youngest son has to come in and say, Mommy, I love you. And Jen's like, ah. And it's like, Mommy, I love you. And I need breakfast. So please, please come feed me, Mommy. Mommy, I will die if you don't pour some cereal into a bowl. It's touching, Andy. It's very touching.
Mommy, not the tricks. I want Fruit Loops today. Mommy, I want a bigger spoon. Mommy, Mommy, orange juice, please. It's beautiful to watch.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. I mean, Jen is a victim. It's a huge sob story. She can't even get out of bed in the morning. Well, at least you could sleep. I mean, that says something. The fact that you could even crawl in bed after what you're accused of says a lot, madame.
Yeah. So then we go to a commercial break.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
And when we come back, Andy's like, well, during the break, Lisa, you just had a big kumbaya moment with Whitney and Heather. Like, what was that about? And then we see a flashback. One of the classic reunion moves that we've been seeing probably ever since. I don't know if Danielle Staub pioneered this move of like the sudden let me race across the stage to hug you thing. But we see it with Lisa just running over to Heather and Whitney and being like, I need to give you guys hugs. I need to give you guys hugs.
But she's only hugging Heather. So she's like, I haven't hugged you guys. And Heather's like, I mean, Lisa, we don't want you to go anywhere, Lisa. We love you, Lisa. What? What the hell? What is this show sometimes?
Where did that
what
come
is
from?
Going on? And Lisa goes, yeah, but you know what? You got to know me before you say stop. And Whitney goes, hey, wait, do I get a hug or just Heather? And they ignore her. And so she has to go again. Do I get a hug or just Heather?
Something's not adding up. So it was such a bizarre moment. One of two bizarre hug moments this week on Bravo Reunions. So then Andy is like, so why did you have that moment and why do you keep having these moments off camera? God damn it, Lisa Barlow. And she's like, well, because we should work on things. And I think we left the end of the season great. And we had like a lot of fun on Zahn. And we were just like getting to know each other. And that's what we're missing. Just hugs, hugs, everything.
Heather, did you get along with Lisa during the season? You know, because that's what Humpty from Dumpty on Twitter says. And you got along, and then you came into the season so angry, Heather. I mean, just so mad.
And Heather's like, I just thought she was going to come in contrite and horrified, you know, and hold her hat in her hand like Jen did, like Jen has done, who you completely still kiss the ass of. Give me a break.
Yeah. And she's like, well, when it came to her, like she came in doing affirmations of how she's a good person, doing it right. Just it triggered me. I was horrified by it. And I want to be right there in the ugly with you. I want to be in the ugly.
Oh, well, we're both trying. We're both trying. I did a little bit more.
So weird, that statement. I just want to be there in the ugly with you. You don't like when people are nice. You only like when they're extreme and evil. I mean, that's something to look into. It's something to look into.
They like it when someone's broken down and like crying. Like that's the thing, right? And so
well, it's a housewives thing, right? They go after you and go after you, and then when they cry, everybody goes, "Aw, you're so vulnerable."
Exactly. I mean, it's like Amanda just did that to Kyle on Summer House last week too, you know? So Heather's like, Lisa is the reason I'm on this couch. And I've never forgotten that. And Mary's like, well, excuse me, let me activate back up to life. So am I. And she's like, well, truth. But Lisa only claimed me and you didn't. And she's like, well, I still resent that. I was one of the people. Okay, I'm going to power down.
Yeah, she's saying that Lisa is the one who claims to have. So she kind of, you know, ignores Meredith on it. But why are you saying you've never forgotten that Lisa was the one who got you this gig? You came after Lisa in the first season. It's only season 2 and you're still going after Lisa.
Yeah.
So Meredith is just like doing her power shakedown, her power down shakedown.
The system is going back to sleep.
And Heather, Andy, basically, they're like, when are these kids going to get along? And Heather's like, I mean, Meredith was mad at Jen for a year for liking a tweet. So, and Jen goes, she's going to be mad at you for 7.
Yeah, because Andy tried to, like, gaslight them into thinking that they were Lisa and Meredith were starting to become friends again. Because he goes, I thought I saw a thawing between you two. And they're like, Meredith's like, no. So she goes, I do not hold grudges. I establish boundaries based on behavior to protect myself and my toddler. And Jen, so you know, it was not about liking a tweet. There were things in that indictment that triggered all sorts of stuff in me. And it wasn't about being mean. It wasn't wishing you ill will. I just needed a boundary. Okay, my battery is low. I've got 5% left before I shut down.
So why wasn't she asked what in the indictment triggered her?
because that's kind of a big thing. And it's new for Meredith. Yeah. And it's rare for Meredith to have a new thing, because Meredith will go with the same thing just as dramatically every minute of the day. So I kind of needed a question. Like, why? Why?
I wonder, maybe there was one. Maybe there was one, because she does eventually get back to it later on. So maybe that's why they just didn't bother including it right here. I don't know. I don't know why I'm defending production on this.
Well, here's what we're going to talk about. Meredith, I'd rather you stop talking about being triggered, because we're going to try to move into a new segment, okay? The most dramatic thing to happen in the Beauty Lab parking lot. Walk me through it, guys.
So he starts asking Jen, like, how long were you on the road before you finally got pulled over? And it was about 20 minutes. And he says, did they arrest you and read you your rights? And she's like, no, they just said they wanted to talk. They just said they wanted to talk, Andy.
Yeah, and she said they took her to a courtroom building, and then they said, like, that she needs to see a judge. And Andy's like, but did you say, am I under arrest? And she said, yes, they said I was under arrest. And she's like, and I said, for what? And then a judge came out, and that's when I found out what the charges were against me. And he asked her what her initial reaction was. And she's like, shock. Yes, go on.
Did they say, it's just funny because every little thing. No, I wasn't under arrest. They didn't read me my rights. So they did say you were. They did say I was under arrest. So he's like, so did they tell you you were charged with fraud and money laundering and you can be put away for 50 years? And she's like, I don't remember really what happened or what he said that day, but I just remembered that that's when I found out there was an indictment. Also, I was half blind because I couldn't see my contact.
Okay, Jen, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and see if the words I say can take you back to a moment in time. 50 years in jail. You could be going to jail for 50 years. Do you feel anything? Anything at all? No?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember anything like that happening. I don't know, Amy.
Lisa Barlow is an amazing person. Just wanted to get that in.
Good job, John. Not the right timing, but it's good. You know, you're on the right path. So then they start talking about the footage, the Ring cam footage that we saw with Homeland Security aiming their guns at Jen's kids, which was very scary. And Jen basically is saying that the reason why they released it to Bravo is because they wanted people to see that it doesn't matter. You know, it's in 2022. It doesn't matter if you're in a gated community in Park City or whatever. This is still happening. And this is how her boys were treated. And it was like very upsetting. And, you know, like they wanted the people to see how scary it was.
Well, we don't know how Stewart's kids were treated. Have you talked to him since the arrest? And she's like,
Nice segue, Andy.
She's like, no.
Well, you told Heather that you weren't even business partners with Stu. And she's like, well, we didn't work together in the businesses that were being discussed. We just, I mean, on a daily basis,
you know, Stewart wasn't around me every day. That's why I had so many other assistants. He was, you know, doing stuff.
I mean, I barely even know what he looks like. I don't even know who Stuart is, for crying out loud. I just was nice to him. I was like, who is this strange person? I guess I'll pretend like he's family, but I also have no idea who he is, to be honest.
But you referred to him as even more than a business partner and said that he's very loyal.
And then she's like, nope, other business. I mean, Stuart, what? Who? And then we see a clip of Stuart going through their businesses on the laptop with her while she's feeding him the banana. And she's like, should I feed you while you're making me money? Yeah, not a business partner at all. And he's like, okay, we're doing this. We're adding more people. Okay, and I had to add a second pass out. That's great, right? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, well, you know, he always knew I would make sure he was taken care of. And if I could be successful in something, I was going to bring along everyone. I felt I could help that helped me get there. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that he helped me get to this financial place in life. But I don't know him. I don't know him at all. I don't even know. What's his name again? Bluer? I'm not familiar.
Yeah. She just says, he's been around me for 10 years and I'm going to take care of the people around me. What are you, like a WeWork? You're like a WeWork where people WeWork. Just can come work and get fed fruit and just like go over their businesses. throw those ideas at a wall or whatever. And Heather's just looking away because this is just crazy.
It's bad.
And she's like, and as I expanded my business, you know, like, I'm just a good person. I helped everybody, you know, so I took everybody with me.
Yeah, she said that she took everyone with her who helped her get to where she is. So by extension, that means that Stuart helped her get to where she is, etc. And I don't know, it just all sounds bad. So,
right. So here's from Stuart's guilty plea via, and I got this on page 6. It's been printed a bunch of places, but this is where I'm reading it from. I knowingly and intentionally discussed and engaged with other individuals to develop a plan or operation to obtain money by false representation by offering and inducing individuals, many of whom were over 50 years of age or older, to provide money to entities that I and others were involved with. I became aware that these telemarketing companies were misleading customers of those entities by selling individuals, many of them who were older than 50, information that purported to be services to enhance their business opportunities. The services sold were of no value and of no real benefit to the customer.
But you know, Stuart, have you spoken to him? She's like, what are we talking about again? Who? What? What? I've helped so many Stewards, Andy. I've helped so many. You know, one of them got a movie. He's little. The littlest one got a movie, Andy.
Andy, I appreciate it, but no, I don't know Martha Stewart, so I don't know why you keep asking me about her.
Lisa, you know Stewart? Have you spoken to him? She's like, I have not. Nope, I have not. Anyone?
And Heather's like, I reached out to him, but I didn't hear back. Of course, Heather is reaching out. It's either Heather or Whitney who's going to reach out to try and get some info from Stuart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Heather spins it like, well, I thought this was great because, you know, I thought Stuart's going to take the plea. He's going to own what he did. And this will be Jen's vindication. I'm like, I don't think that's how that works, Heather. I don't think he's like, guys, I did it. Everyone else is safe to go home. I don't think that's how a plea deal works. I don't think that's the carrot on the stick there.
Right. So Andy's like, but he is someone you described as being close to you. He's going, you know, he keeps questioning her, but it's only about whether or not she's friends with Stu, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we get a clip of Jen's speech to Stu when she's like, I hope you realize this. The sacrifices I made were to take care of you and your family.
Which whoever after reading you are, all stranger. Yes.
Little mouse, I hope you get a tiny little toy car to drive one day. Your family will be so proud.
What about my toy cars? So Andy is just like, so how did it feel to have the women talk about you and talk about how you paid for things and like the Shaw Squad and all that? And then we basically see a montage of Whitney just asking questions about how does Jen pay for all the things in her life.
And just for the record, any housewife that spends $80,000 on a party, it's quite, like, everybody says something about it. That's part of the show. Like, that's what it is, you know? It's like Taylor back in the day. Like, how did she just spend $100,000 on Kennedy's birthday party? You know, it was a huge topic of discussion.
True. So Although it made sense to me that someone in Beverly Hills, California, would spend, like, $30,000 on a stupid child, like, a stupid children's tea party birthday. It is weird to spend like $50,000 a month like on like a glam squad. I feel like in Salt Lake City, where it's like Jen's going to like Valters or, you know, Cucina Toscana, you know?
Right. But in Beverly Hills, it wasn't normal for the other ladies. It might have been normal for them, but they're like, Taylor has that kind of money. You know, like those conversations were going on. So then Jen turns it to,
everyone's just full of shit. Like Lisa came up to me and said, I just want you to know people are questioning where you get your money. And I was like, why? Because I'm brown and you guys have to put down successful people of color?
And because you spent $80,000 on a party at Topgolf. Like, what even was in that party? How could you spend that much money at Topgolf? Or no, they're talking about the birthday party maybe she threw.
Either way. Either way, how did that cost $80,000? So Lisa's like, I didn't say I questioned you. She goes, well, the only time I ever heard it, you brought it to me. She goes, no, I was just saying that everyone else was talking about it. Not me, though. Not me. What I was talking about, the Impossible Burger. I'm telling you, it really is a game changer. Huge. It's wonderful.
And Jen's going, who? And she says, everyone. And Whitney says, I never said that. Whitney, we've seen multiple clips today of you questioning it. You have been since season one. Like, everyone keeps yelling own it in this. This is a Lisa Rinna thing. It's like everyone's yelling own it, but then they all just fucking lie the whole time.
I know. And Meredith goes, well, I don't count other people's money. I talk about not understanding your business. Like, I mean, certainly doesn't appear to me like a sound enterprise, like making sweatsuits with a piece of tape on it, okay? But I never counted your money.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference? Saying you don't understand what someone does is kind of questions about how they get their money, right?
Also, as long as we're on this, why don't we find out what Seth does? How about that?
Yes, which is probably why she's stressing that she never said anything, right? So right. Andy's like, well, what was your motivation, Lisa, in telling Jen that everybody questioned her money? And she's like, well, you know, she was wondering why everyone was always against her. And I said, they're saying that it just doesn't add up, you know? Like, there's just stuff that doesn't add up.
Yeah. But what doesn't add up? What doesn't add up? And she goes, don't ask me. I wasn't saying it. I didn't say it. I just said it to you. But I didn't say it. Okay? Don't ask me.
Also, people were always against you because you were screaming and yelling and throwing glasses and shit.
Like, yeah, there was that too.
So then Whitney's like, yeah, you know, I've just like never had a friend who spent that much money. I mean, until now. Oh, God, I love Angie Harrington. And she really has it. Unlike you, Lisa.
I never questioned your success. You are smart. And I know people who worked with you, and they speak highly of you. I have never had a friend at that level. Never.
And so Andy is like, well, you said in your audition that you spend $50,000 a month on things. That seems like a lot to a lot of people. And Jen just shrugs like, well, I don't really have an answer for that. So,
yes.
And we see the audition tape. Yeah.
So we see her audition tape, and she's like, my husband travels a lot, and I've got 20 pieces of luggage every time we get on this plane, and 17 are mine. Which, of course, they're inferring that that private jet is theirs, which, you know.
Clearly is not. Well, they were being so like over the top trying to be on this show. I mean, even Sharif has been on the show. He's always been like, hey, baby, what are you doing today? But on the audition thing, he's like, whoa, my wife, she's crazy. She's always buying things. Shopping, women. Am I right, everyone? I was like, who is this, Sharif?
And this is where she says, I spend like $50,000 a month on my stuff. And Andy's like, so, you know, that seems like a lot to people. And Jen just goes, and shrugs.
He doesn't have anything to say anymore. So,
Whitney, a lot of viewers wondered how you knew so much about fraud and money laundering. I mean, you barely could convert that W into an M for your rebrand. So how do you know about money laundering?
Good question.
Here we go. A bunch of bullshit whenever they start with
good question. Once I was reading the indictment, and so then that's part of it. And then two, like I said, I do know someone that used to work with Jen, and they explained it to me.
I was like, oh, okay. So now you're talking to a witness. now you were actually questioning someone that Jen worked with. So Andy's like, well, you were able to explain lead generation, and how is that different from what Jen's being accused of? And she's like,
well, there's a gray area, but you know what? Sometimes I'll use a Sharpie for it, and sometimes I'll actually send him something. Whatever I can do to make Justin feel young again, Andy.
And Jen's like, I don't do lead generation. It's called data monetization. Which, by the way, that sounds 10 times worse. Data monetization. And he's like, well, what's that? He's like, well, it's generating money from data. That's, you get a name and a phone number and you generate money from them. I'm like, Jen, that sounds like, that literally sounds like what you're being accused of. You're getting money from people that you just have their number from.
And it's so funny that she's so adamant about exactly her job title exactly, you know? She's like, it needs to be this, even though that's never what she said. Here's a quote from Jen from Bustle magazine in, I believe, 2020. She says, the marketing companies have been my core businesses for almost 20 years. We do direct response marketing, which what I would say 90% of it is right now. In 2020 is all online, but we do a lot of infomercials, direct mail, print, and anything that is direct response that requires a call to action from a consumer. I'm the person behind the curtain that nobody sees, but nobody knows how things are working. That's me. I mean, girl, you are so fucked. You're fucked.
So Andy's like, well, the accusation is that Meredith slept with half of New York and that doesn't even pay for her house. Sorry, I just want to keep that fresh in the background. Okay, the accusation is that you're selling information about people who are elderly or impaired who are then being roped into paying for things. She's like, I can't comment on it. I can't comment on it. It's like, you just said you do data monetization. Like, so Courtney Dionne Warwick says thinks that you're a flip-flopper, Whitney. One minute you're investigating Jen, and next you're offering her support. And Jen is like, yeah, I'm surprised to see that Whitney was such a big flip-flopper. Oh, I don't know why anyone, why would Jen be surprised about that? I mean, Whitney is like, that's always been her thing, right?
And Jen's like, well, I mean, I didn't know she was flip-flopping because when I saw her, she was supportive. And Whitney's like, yeah, well, I didn't know how I was going to show up for you because when you hear that about a friend, I don't care who you are, it rocks your own moral code. That's me, Whitney Rose, with the very impenetrable moral code. Okay. Yeah. And Jen's like, but it shouldn't if you're a real friend. And you must not be my real friend then. You must not be my real friend then.
We're back to this old talking point. This is like the, you're not a real friend. You didn't show up. This is like the smoke and mirrors you do. When you've done something wrong, you go to this well.
Victim.
Because then it gets everyone talking about whether or not they were a friend, not talking about what someone actually did. And then that's why this whole second half of the season has been about who has shown up for who has been loyal to who has defended whom, because it's just a way to not talk about the real things that are happening.
Right. And Whitney says that she did show up for her and that was her way of supporting. It was a decision, but she chose to show up for Jen. And Jen's like, but then that stuff you said after, like, it didn't only hurt me. It hurt my husband. It hurt my children. Oh, my God. How many people are you accused of completely robbing and fucking over? You.
Yeah.
You know, please. And Whitney's like, hey, you know, Whitney gives a hey now. Like, I can't believe you would say that.
She goes, well, but what though? But what? And she goes, on Watch What Happens Live. You were like, oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. And the clip was basically Whitney saying, I worry for Jen and her family. I don't think this is good for Jen. Okay. I don't believe that clip hurt Jen's kids because I don't think Jen's kids care about Watch What Happens Live. You're meaning to tell me her teenage son is like, hold on a second, gotta watch Whitney Rose on Watch What Happens Live right now and make sure she doesn't say anything that hurts me. Like, I guarantee he was doing anything but that.
Well, also, it's not, no one's hurt by Jen's actions. It's just everyone's reactions to it. And in defense of Whitney, which is rare for me, she wasn't just speaking out of her ass. She was asked, like, so, you know, guilty plea was entered on Stewart's behalf. Yeah. Like,
it was a benign comment.
She's fucked. And she's like, well, I mean, it looks like at least one of them was involved. So I am worried for her family. This does not look good for her. She was saying it in a nice way, I thought.
Yeah, it was not a vindictive moment. It was actually a pretty forgettable, you know, part of, you know, just like a general conversation. But Jen has latched onto it so she can use it against her. But like to say that hurt her and her family and her kids. I mean, I really don't think the kids care about what Whitney's saying on Watch Happens Live.
So Heather was like, so, I mean, you're responding to her like she said something horrible and she didn't, you know, no one said anything horrible. And Whitney goes, yeah, that week you hashtagged Mary was right. And Jen starts flipping out. Because you called my husband a sugar daddy? And then, you know, like, you put the work that me and my husband had done all these decades down? And we worked our houses off together, we want. Which none of this happened, you know? And yeah. Andy says, I think she said maybe she has a sugar daddy. And then we see the clip of John McD and the McDLT say, have you ever questioned Jen's business practices? And Whitney saying, I mean, I questioned the lifestyle. I always thought she had a sugar daddy, to be honest. So you were only implying that she was having an affair, which I guess Jen isn't the place to argue, seeing as how she did that to Meredith last season. Okay.
That's true.
Let's all hug and go home.
Yeah. And Heather's like, I mean, after everything that's gone on, you're upset that she said maybe you have a sugar daddy. I mean, that's just a funny joke. I mean, you make jokes like that all the time, Jen. I mean, you're acting so horrified by this, and it's ridiculous. And Jen's like, well, I'm doing it now because I'm not trying to make a joke out of what you said, okay? I am trying to make a joke out of what you said. See, because I'm trying to change my narrative, like, right now as we speak. Okay, I'm making a joke. I'm being funny right now, right, guys?
She is so terrible. She is so bad at this. She's so bad at this. So Jen's like, can I talk? Let me talk. You were talking, and then everything you said was found to be bullshit, and now you're trying to pivot into being funny and screaming and crying at the same time. It's just not working. Okay.
Yeah. She's like, what I feel like is that on my end, it's like, we can say, hey, Jen, we can treat you like shit because you should be just so happy that you have friends that show up 60%. So if we shit on you, it's okay because you need all the friends you can get right now. And that's not fair.
I actually see what she's saying, right? Like, Jen can't do her normal Jen routine of just screaming and yelling and bullying people into submission. Because she needs these friends. And I think Heather's like, I stood by you, even though you're terrible. So I get what she's saying, but you're only trying to not go off on them because they are your only friends and you do need all the friends you can get right now. So, you know, you're between a Jen and a Jen place. You're fucked. You're fucked.
Yeah. And Heather's like, well, you do shit on me and I still show up for you. And Jen's like, but why do you keep bringing that up? Like today you said, oh, Jen's shitty. I said, you guys are always reminding me of that. So now Jen is the victim that like her friends are reminding her that she's shitty to them. Like she's the victim of the reminders of her behavior.
When she just brought up people questioning her use of party money in season one. Like, okay, so the past are off limit now. The past is off limits. So Heather's like, just ask Andy why it's still coming up. You're the only person who's brought it up multiple times today, Heather. Okay. And she's like, no, but like today you said like Jen's always shitty. Like, why do you have to remind me all the time?
Yeah. And so Jen is like, and I said, Heather, can we just like keep saying that as a joke? Like it hurts me. Can we like not keep saying that as a joke? And like it hurts me every time you say that. Like I'm sorry. And Heather's like, okay, well, fine. I didn't know that hurt you. So,
Annie, by the way, when she just said on national TV, I mean, what about Whitney's husband and his FTC violations? Like, oh, okay.
That's true.
You're just the best friend in the world, Jen.
So Andy's like, well, they're in a Sprinter van that's swarmed by Homeland Security and the FBI and technically the NYPD, too. So wouldn't it be natural for them to question this and look into it and speculate, maybe? And Jen's like, yeah, it's absolutely normal. And Whitney goes, it's human nature, which I just thought was funny. You know, as we all know, human nature is that when you're on a Sprinter van and it's swarmed by three different agencies, you're going to question things. It's human nature.
And Jen screams that, you know, it's that they brought up other shit when she's at her lowest and it's none of it was true. And that's what's not normal about it. And Andy's like, okay, well, let's talk about that. Lisa, after the address, you were immediately distant from Jen. No, I wasn't.
No. Yes, you were. You were.
No.
No, you were.
I'm going to speak for myself. You're not going to speak for me. You're not going to speak for me.
Well, I'll speak for you because you speak for everyone else. How about that?
I am going to speak for myself. Be quiet. Be quiet. I'm going to speak for you. I'm going to speak for you.
I'm not going to be quiet.
Oh, Jen is just yelling stupid shit now. So Andy's like, so you did call all of your six lawyers, and then we see the clip of that.
So what do you think, lawyer number one? I am shock. I am shock. Lawyer number two, I am shocking. I am shocking.
And she's like, well, you know what? I called six lawyers because there was no information, and I called them to ask if there was anything on the docket. And Heather's like, the docket? She goes, yeah, it was a smart response, okay? Because any claim against you is on the docket. And, like, Google it before you judge.
Yeah, because Heather's like, I mean, what's a docket? Is there, like, a legal, like, ledger? Yes, Heather, there is, actually. I love Heather getting so mad just because she doesn't know what something is. She's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
A docket.
She goes, yeah, any action against you is on the docket. She goes, well, I don't know what a docket is. And so Lisa says, Google it then before you judge. And Jen goes, you Google it!
know. I just love that her instinct is so ingrained in her that she's just gonna flip around anything. Like you Google it.
Bitch. And she goes, you don't call me a bitch now. And she's like, you're a bitch.
Oh, does that make you feel good to pile on like that?
She goes, you're a bitch to everyone up here, right, everyone? You're a bitch to everyone.
Okay, pile on. Okay, can I touch?
I can poke as far as you, and I can, like, yell as much as you, and I can do this all day long.
Okay, I see what you're doing. Okay, I see what you're doing.
And Jen's like, what am I doing?
She's turning the narrative. But guess what? You can't narrate me. You can't. Look, I'm going to close my mouth. You can't narrate. No narration.
So the women got together at dinner in Vail, and they had a lot to say. Meredith, you decided Jen was guilty right away with no proof.
Just, I did not. I said innocent until proven guilty 100 times, Andy.
Yeah. And Jen's like, well, me watching it, I remember you saying that, but like, you were like, I tried to tell you guys, and then you were like cuddling Lisa.
God, Jen, she is terrible. And do you notice how calm she suddenly gets? She's just screaming and going for Lisa. And then when it comes to Meredith, she's like, yeah, Meredith, but like watching it back. And like, she immediately gets calm because Meredith has stood up to her so well, you know? Mm-hmm. So she's like, you just wrote me off, Lisa. I'm like, you wrote me off, Lisa.
I like Meredith, who I really like, and it was very nice. I'm just like you, Lisa.
When Meredith was way worse, Meredith was sitting there taking the bath of her lifetime. I told you what was going to happen with her. I told you.
Yeah, because she knows that she can go after Lisa.
Exactly.
Because Lisa's going to flounder and get tripped up in her own words and logic, and the other women are going to jump on it. Whereas Meredith has, like, really stood her ground well this reunion. She's sort of, like, she's made her case. She's sort of, not intractable, but she just sort of, she just presents everything in such a coherent, organized way that it's, you sort of just feel like you can't really argue with her, because no matter what you do, she's just going to be like, I said it because I hadn't had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich yet that day. And that's why. And you're like, oh, well, she didn't have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So that's why she did it. So it makes sense to me.
Yeah. So then they move to the Uber story. And he's like, Lisa, were you insinuating that she was having an affair when she got out of that Uber? And she's like,
well, no, I mean, it was just after my event, and I was just saying, wow, she's, like, out and about, and she's, like, mad at me. She's, like, mad at me, so that's why I was commenting.
And Heather's giving an angry look, like, oh, right, Lisa. You were the one who brought it up on national TV, Heather, to make Jen. I'm like, that was part of your evidence against Jen when she got arrested, was, like, guys, she also jumped out of the Uber that I got her, and it was, you know, whatever. You started the insinuation.
But it's also funny, like, Lisa's explanation, like, no, I'm not insinuating she had an affair. I just was like, wow, she's mad at me, and she's out and about late at night. Wow. like, in what world is that a fascinating story that you want to gossip to people about? Like, guys, Jen was out late, you know?
Yeah.
I only go home when I'm mad. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
So Andy's like, so why did you get out of the Uber that Heather got you? And she goes,
because blank was picking me up.
Which is Murillo, right? The assistant.
Was it Murillo? So Murillo's getting blanked out now also, as well as the guy who...
Well, when it comes to this stuff, because wasn't Murillo the one who shoplifted out of the store?
Oh, was it him?
Yes, they just blanked his name so they don't get in trouble. But she goes, because
blank was picking me up, and out of respect for Heather, he can't come to Heather's house.
And Heather says, yeah, because he's stolen from me and he's not welcome. And I mean,
what is
he's not welcome anywhere
guy?
In my vicinity. Let me finish my sentence before I even say, Heather, what the fuck? You're hanging out with all this talk of who's loyal to who. You're so mad about loyalty between Lisa and Meredith and blah, blah, blah. And you're still talking to Jen when she is friends and hired someone that stole from you?
Well, what's crazy is that he stole from Heather and Meredith. Like, the Meredith thing, like, the argument, you know, there was a whole counter argument about that. Like, oh, well, I was told it was okay and it was a mistake and yada, 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 and I brought it back, etc. There was a whole thing on social media. But now Now it's two different people on the cast that it's, that there's been some theft with. I mean, that's
so I shady. Looked it up, of course, okay. Just because I had to get the information on this too. So it's the same employee that stole from Meredith. He's accused of taking money to set an. Well, she said he was taking money, but then his response. I'm getting this from Cheat Sheet, good old Cheat Sheet. His response was that he was accused of taking money to set an appointment at Beauty Lab for Jen. And then when he was confronted, he supposedly resigned, but claimed that Heather has used him since for other services like transporting her kids and other kinds of services. And he is just horrified that she would respond like this. So that's what he's saying. Heather was not quoted in this, but I mean, that's two housewives you've stolen from in one season, sir.
In one season. I don't think that's a great track record.
Yeah.
You know? So then Andy is like, well, why didn't you take the Uber home, you know, from Heather's place? And basically Jen is like, oh, I didn't want to drive 45 minutes in the Uber, you know, it's a 45 minute drive. So I would have him pick me up, which doesn't make sense either. If you're bragging about spending $50,000 a month and it's like, it's no big deal, but suddenly you don't want to pay for a $45 Uber.
You'd rather have someone drive all the way out. Someone else was. And what, did he fly you in a helicopter? Because she's like, I didn't want to drive 45 minutes. Like Murillo flies. He's like, I'll do it. I'll get you home way quicker. So strange. Heather's like, yeah. And she's told me, wait, so this, hold on, let me go back to my pre-notes. Because Heather says he's stolen from me and he's not welcome anywhere in my vicinity. And she's told me continually that she has no relationship with him. So I guess Jen has been lying. And Jen was like, no, that was after that all happened. And Meredith goes, wait, what's the Uber driver story? What's that?
Yeah, because there was, Andy was like, Andy mentioned there was a podcast where someone interviewed the driver who said that he took Jen to a condo. And Jen goes, yeah, that's a lie. It's a lie.
And Jen's got that little smile on her face, you know, when she's caught. So then she laughs. And Andy's like, well, as far as you know, are you red flagged at Louis Vuitton? Is that you red flagged? Just no.
And it's like, well, Meredith, where did you hear about that? She goes, well, I got it from someone who works at Louis Vuitton, and I'm not going to name names, but let's just say her name rhymes with Mana Bintour.
Well, Telefromundo wants to know what Jen did to terrorize your family for the past 2 years, Meredith. And she's like, well, for starters, I've been told like multiple parties, some of them who are in this room,
like looking at Lisa,
that you are looking to destroy me.
And Heather's like, just say names, okay? Otherwise, I feel like it's like me and it pisses me off. And Meredith is like, well, and then I hear other things that lead me to believe this collusion was involved and things like this. And I was like, this is enough. I am done. My toddler needs to be protected.
So then they're like, why? Because Jen's, you know, going, but I've never tried to hire a PI. And Andy's like, yeah, why did you hire a PI? She goes, actually, he was a cyber specialist. And Heather had called me because she had gotten these very bizarre messages as well.
And Heather's like, oh, yeah, I mean, just horrible. They're so bad. They're like rhyming messages of death.
Yeah, and we're like, what? And then, we know, Heather basically tells us, it's like, roses are red, violets are blue, season one is over, we all played you. I'm like, that's just hilarious, because like, that's the most Jen Shaw text you could imagine. Like, because who else, what like stalker in the world is gonna lead with season one is over? Like, we just wrapped production and I hate you, you know?
Right, and we all played you. Also, that's not a message of death, okay? I mean, unless there were more. But Meredith says that they also texted both of her sons. And when Andy asked her what the investigator found, she said, he said it could be Jen, but he didn't say conclusively, and that's why I dropped it. Which makes no fucking sense. Like, it could be Jen? That's never made sense to me.
Well, in the case of these mysterious texts, the cyber investigator was able to narrow it down between two suspects. One was Miss Jennifer Shaw, and the other was someone named Reza Farahan. It didn't quite make sense, but I did receive an email that just said spoof texts from a Mike Shue head, so I don't really know what that all means.
And they say that the connections were that there were only a limited number of people who had their numbers and their emails. So it made it a smaller pool. Like, they're so mysterious. Their phone numbers are so hard to get and mysterious.
But also, like, the way that Meredith says it, she goes, well, I'm the only people who have both of our numbers are the people in this room plus Mary plus production. I'm like, well, you know, production's like 100 people.
Yes.
It's called a call sheet. Everyone gets those.
Yeah. He didn't give me a conclusive answer, just his opinion, so I put it away. I don't like to operate on things that aren't fact.
Except that you told people that you hired an investigator and you're 90-something percent sure that it's Jen. So yeah. It sounds like, I mean, listen, You're full of shit too, right?
I also did receive quite a menacing text about someone not being able to ever meet a baby Shams. And I said, you got it mistaken. Mine's named Brooks. So it was very, very uncomfortable.
So then, of course, Jen spins it because it's Jen, okay? And I think that everybody probably knows it's Jen at this point. I mean, on the show. And so Jen's like, yeah, but what about all the text message my children have gotten or I've gotten saying my sons are going to be skinned alive and burnt and calling them the N-word? From your logic, should I blame you guys for doing that?
So, like, you know, that's, first of all, terrible that she gets texts like that, right? But Meredith is just like, well, that's why I dropped it, because, like, until I read about... Meredith basically doesn't, like, engage with this logic, right? She's not going to go there. So she's just like, well, that's why I dropped it, you know? And, you know, the only reason why I brought it up again is because in the indictment, aka the docket, she had read about Jen using encrypted messaging.
Yeah, so
and that's why she was triggered. And that's where it all comes together.
Encrypted messaging. And Andy goes, what? And she's like, in the indictment, Andy. He goes, oh, that's why it triggered the indictment. Oh, that's why it triggered you. That's it. Remember when you were asking questions and then you came to a conclusion and ended it by concluding that Lisa was saying you weren't there for her, even though you were? Oh, my God. I'm getting it.
So then Andy's like, okay, so guys, who here thinks that Jen is guilty of fraud and money laundering? And of course, no one raises their hands, right?
But it's a big, long pause. Yeah, it's a big, long pause. And Heather's like, well, I love Jen. I don't care if she's guilty or not.
And then Lisa just like jumps into one up. Jen told me she's innocent. I believe her. Yeah, I have her back. Yeah.
And Heather's like, me too. And I'm going to be in court every day. And I am going to fight for her. I'm going to fight for her.
And then Meredith is like, well, I have no idea. I hope so. I hope she's innocent. But I'm not the judge or the jury. I'm just a grown woman dressed in blue feathers today.
And then Jen shrugs to Whitney and Heather like, see, guys? So Andy's like, well, the success rate of the New York State attorney is 95%. And she's like, yeah, because people take pleas. But I'm fighting for this. I'm doing this for everyone out there who doesn't have the resources or the means so they don't fight. I'm innocent. And I'm going to fucking represent every other person out there that can't fight.
Oh, like people who are victims of phone scams? Like those people, right? So then Andy's like, so what do you mean that they targeted you? And Jen's like, because Meredith called the feds. Just kidding.
They're like, ah, ha, 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 ha.
And then it goes, to, I know, it was weird. And then it goes to break. And then Heather and Jen start hugging. And Heather's like, I'm sorry. It's going to be okay, Jen. It's going to be okay. And they're hugging. And Jen's just like coughing in like Heather's ear. She's like, it's going to be fine. Even though you treat me horribly and cough in my ear, it'll be fine. I'm showing up for you right now.
Welcome back.
And Heather's like, I just cried really hard during the break, Andy. I'm going to need some tissue. Hold on, Andy. I might need a touch up. Oh, I'm such a good person.
So the trial is set for March 22nd. Already been delayed. Lame, gotta say. Mm-hmm. And he asks if it's a jury trial. And he's like, you know, I mean, I keep saying the max sentence is 30. Which he literally has never said.
He's kept saying 50.
But then I read the one charge is 30, one charge is 20. Whitney, Africala Tabralista Expedalidosius, Andy. 50, it equals 50. That's 50 years, Jim.
And she goes, well, I don't know. He goes, you don't know what the charge is? And she's like, well, I mean, then I'm going to say, like, guess what? You're going away for 50 years. He goes, wow, okay, okay. Well, you've been watching this season and you've been very quiet on social media, which is sort of against Bravo rules, and I'm impressed, and by impressed, I'm disappointed. Is there anything else you didn't get to say today?
I mean, what about me? Pretty much sums it.
So they go, she basically says she's still going to be here for season 3. And yeah. Before we go, what is everybody's takeaway for the season? And Heather's like,
wow, that's a cruel word to use with Jen Shah, takeaway. But anyway, go on.
Mine is, I didn't do it. I didn't take anything away, Amy.
So Heather's like, my biggest takeaway is that fake tears. Fake tears. That was the stage direction. Is it we're all human, Andy, and we regret things, and no one is beyond redemption. Like, we uniquely love each other on this stage. And Jen, for even showing up today, I commend you. I admire you. And I love you, Jen. I love you, Jen.
And Jenny says, well, walking into the season as a newbie, what I took from this is I'll speak my mind more. I should just be out there, and I should be out there more. It's like, oh, Jenny, you wound up being quite out there, and good luck to you. So then Whitney is, she's like, there's so many things I learned this season, but the biggest is to believe in myself and growth. And I learned it's important to stand tall, stand proud. Voices that care are calling out loud. Wait, what is it again?
Take a stand. I didn't take anything.
I'm not at the trial yet. I don't have to take the stand.
I love that Whitney learned it's important to take a stand. You flip-flopped on every single Everything. Thing you brought up this season, Whitney. You took no stand, okay? So Meredith is like, I learned it's important to not let things fester because I internalize things. And before you know it, things start popping out of my shoulders and I end up in a dress like I am now.
I've learned a lot of things, especially in the last 5 days. Like, I actually learned nothing until 5 days ago. And I've had a very hard time being vulnerable. And I just want to say, I wasn't raised that way. And it's because I'm not vulnerable. People don't see me for what my heart really is, which is a hard shell taco.
I learned that you're stronger than you think you are, and if you can get through the impact of the initial news, like, as devastating as it's been, I know my husband loves me, and, like, that's it. Those are my takeaways.
Not much of a takeaway.
So also, old people know the number of the police. I think that's probably your biggest takeaway here.
That is the takeaway. That's the big takeaway. So, well, thank you everyone for a truly mind-blowing season. To wrap this up, we're going to bring out some fire-roasted friendship churros. So they all get some churros and pass them around. And then they give it to Heather to make a final toast. And she's like, I would like to say, Housewives of Salt Lake City, we are phenomenal, beautiful, fashionable, real, fake, fucked up and locked up. That's what we are. Cheers, everyone.
And then Whitney gets the last line of the reunion, and it is so Whitney. She goes,
it's not gluten free.
I just took a stand. And that was the end.
That brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. The entire Triumphant. Season. Yeah, we did it.
Triumphant. I almost feel sad because they will they're never going to be able to replicate the season. I'm just going to say this right now, not to come from a place of negativity, but it was just such an amazing, amazing, like a once in a lifetime season. So I feel like we were all very lucky to have experienced it together.
Yeah, it was a great season. I really enjoyed it. And we're also this week finishing up Miami's reunion. So that will be out today as well. So go check that out. Thank you for being with us on Crappens On Demand. If you guys want this on video in a couple of weeks, usually go over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And we'll see you at the live shows this week, guys.
Well, bye, everyone.
And bye, everybody. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, She Don't Take No Baloney.
Courtney Shamazing Shawdell. Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Aaron McNicholas, She Don't Miss No Trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, She Has No Less Namey.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just Saying, Okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClelland.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors. Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She leaves us in stitches, it's Catherine Taylor.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Kristen the Ruby Rubano.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Paging Paige Mills.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.